Robert, I have a question for you. Now, there are different styles of Alexander, and some of the different styles emphasize not doing a lot of activity in terms of as you're learning not, in the lesson, not utilizing it as much in different activities, but using it more for an experience of getting in and out of a chair or table work, and all those things are really, all of them, doing the activities, all of that's very good. But there are those different styles. What do you think is the usefulness, pro and con, of doing a lot of work with a chair? With the person in the chair, I should say,
The
that you're in
chair.
furniture building.
I've worked on chairs all my life and I haven't seen any change yet. But
Fact, you've
the
often been in chairs when you've worked, yes.
exactly. That's a very good question. And it has to do, just to give a little historical background, Alexander died in 1955 and several strands of teaching emerged after his death. Well, they emerged earlier, but several people began training teachers. And so over the years, there are perhaps, I guess now you might say, four or five schools of Alexander teaching, maybe more than that. Some tend to emphasize, as you say, very traditional activities like getting in and out of a chair or table work or some very specific postures, something called the monkey, of all things. Can you believe that? And we still use that word. Anyway, the monkey, the lunge, whatever. And other schools of thought tend to, other approaches to teaching tend to emphasize much more whatever activity the student is doing. So if a musician comes in, you might work with them playing their instrument in the first lesson. That would be, oh, I would think, unheard of in other versions of the technique. So there's a big difference there. I think there's also a very big difference in how much a teacher expects a student to start doing for him or herself early on in lessons.
I'd agree,
One of the most respected teachers I ever met was a man named Walter Carrington. I had many lessons from him in London. He ran a training course there, and in fact, he represents one of the main teaching traditions. People talk about the Carrington approach to teaching. He once told me that he does everything in his power for the first 10 lessons to not talk about the Alexander technique in any way. And his reasoning is he wants people to get to a certain level of awareness and sensitivity, perhaps, that they are in a position to learn what he wants to teach them. That it's kind of a waste of time to work with them earlier. Now, I profoundly disagree with that, but I understand where he was coming from. Certainly, and it is a very effective way of teaching, and my first teacher was certainly in that. He wasn't a Carrington teacher, but he was definitely in that idea where you just come for lessons and things will take care of themselves. And the thing is, things often do take care of themselves, but I personally much, much, much prefer to work as soon as possible with getting people to start thinking for themselves, making changes on their own. I just had a student a couple of days ago, a singer, who it was the first lesson, and I realized at the end of the lesson that I'd hardly put my hands on her, just a little bit on her neck and shoulders, a little bit here and there. But mostly just directing her thinking, and she made gigantic. She was the kind of student that you could do that with. It became clear very quickly, and she in fact made huge changes just in one lesson. And I think it was particularly empowering that she realized. I told her, notice that you made those changes without my hands anywhere near you. And she totally got how important that was. So that's also a very effective way of teaching. Of course, a lot depends on the teacher, personality, of the teacher. Some teachers are very comfortable being very kind of free-flowing in their lessons, working with activities, experimenting with this and that. Other teachers, I think, tend to stay with a fairly standard routine of movements that they might work on with a student. Certainly getting in and out of a chair would be a classic one. Sitting, standing, table work, maybe a few other things. And I think some teachers are really suited for that kind of, that style of teaching, and I think some students probably are much more suited for that than the other. It's so I'd say there were trade-offs. I wouldn't put one over the other. What do you think?
Right. Well, you know, and some teachers do all of them, you know, or draw on just what's best for the student. And I think we're very fortunate, certainly always very thankful that we've had the training we've had where we've got the traditional training and worked with Marge.
Right.
Very, very lucky.
And we should say here for our audience, Eileen trained in San Francisco with Frank Ottawell. And Giori, how is his name pronounced?
Giora.
Yeah, and she, of course, trained extensively with Marjorie Barstow. And I trained in England on a Carrington-type course, not with Walter himself, and also trained extensively with Marge Barstow. So we both have that advantage of having...
Both working in activity and...
And classic stuff, right. Right. So if you can find a teacher who can do that, that would be great. But I would say basically in terms of a student looking into taking lessons, I would just have lessons with whoever's around. And if there's more than one, you know, if there's only one teacher, at least have a few lessons with them, three or four maybe. If there's more than one teacher, maybe pick two or three and have a few lessons with each and then decide what you think.
That's a great idea. Or even sometimes just talking to them on the phone, you have one that you
seem
to click with more than the other. And it's still going to be beneficial whatever style someone does, really. You're still going to get the basics in that.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered that one. What do you think?
I think we have.